We have 3 minutes. 3 minutes. So we invoke the grace of Devi, power of knowledge. Sarvasvarupe, Sarvasvarupe, Sarveshe,
Sarveshe,
Sarvashakti,
Sarvashakti,
Samanvite,
Samanvite,
Bhayebhyastrahino Devi,
Bhayebhyastrahino Devi,
Durge Devi Namostute,
Durge Devi Namostute,
Sarvasvarupe Sarveshe,
Sarvasvarupe Sarveshe,
Sarvashakti Samanvite,
Sarvashakti Samanvite,
Bhayebhyastrahino Devi,
Bhayebhyastrahino
Devi, Durge Devi Namostute,
Durge Devi Namostute,
Sarvasvarupe Sarveshe,
Sarvasvarupe Sarveshe,
Sarvashakti Samanvite,
Sarvashakti Samanvite,
Bhayebhyastrahino Devi,
Bhayebhyastrahino Devi,
Durge Devi Namostute,
Durge Devi Namostute,
Sarvasvarupe Sarveshe,
Sarvasvarupe Sarveshe,
Sarvashakti Samanvite,
Sarvashakti Samanvite,
Bhayebhyastrahino Devi,
Bhayebhyastrahino Devi,
Durge Devi Namostute,
Durge Devi Namostute.
Even though fear is one phenomenon, it can express itself in many forms. And if anybody wants freedom from the hold of fear, anything makes you feel scared, frightened, of course knowledge is the ultimate solution. But until knowledge, any fear, sense of insecurity really troubles you, then the best thing is seek Bhagavan's grace. Invoke the grace of Devi. Definitely repeat this mantra. You cannot call Devi better than this. Three big powerful names you are using. You know, you are Sarvasvarupe. Oh Devi, you are the truth of everything here. Sarvasvarupe. Sarvesham Vastunam Swarupam. Yeah. You are the only Swarupam, very essential nature of everything. Sarvasvarupe. Then Sarveshe. Is there anything else other than you which rules, controls, maintains, ordains everything? Under whose control everything is there? In your control. Therefore, you are the Lord of everything. Sarveshe. Then Sarvashakti Samanvite. There's no power, no energy, no potency, potentiality outside of Devi. So you are the one endowed with all powers. Calling three names, very powerful names. Sarvasvarupe, Sarveshe, Sarvashakti Samanvite. Calling then Durge. The prayer, only one small prayer. Naha Trahi. Trahi is an imperative verb. May you protect. Calling three names, you have to call her. She has to listen to you, at least for one name, you see. Even if she misses you, she has to pay attention to your name, at least once. And now, Trahi, may you protect. Whom? Us. Naha, Trahi. May you protect us. From what? Whenever you seek protection, The protection from what is the right question. Not of what. The protection from what? All forms of fear. Bhayebhyaha. Bhayebhyaha naha trahi. May you protect us from all forms of all different expressions of one phenomenon called fear. You alone can protect. Because you are endowed with all powers, you are the lord of everything, you are the one who controls everything, and you are the very essential nature of everything. Nice. Isn't it? Okay. Om Sada Shiva Samarambham Vyasa Shankara Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Om Ishvaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Veda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadhyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaveyam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Apyayantu mamangani Vak pranas chakshu shotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astva Nirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmas Temayi Santu Om Shanti 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 Let us read mantras from the first section, first chapter. Om Keneshitam Patati Preshitam Manaha Kena Pranav Prathamav Praiti Yuktaha Keneshitam Vachamimam Vadanti Chakshushrotram Kavudevo Yunakti Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manaha Yadvachoha Vacham Savu Pranasya Pranaha Chakshushas Chakshuhu Atimuchya Dhiraha Pretyasmal Lokad Amrita Bhavanti. Natatra Chakshur Gachati, Nava Gachati, No Manaha, Navidmaha, Navijani Maha, Yathaita Danusishyat. Anya devatad viditadatho aviditadadhi iti susrama purvesham yenastadvyacha chakshire. Yadvachabhyanabhyuditam
yena vagabhyudyate tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate yanmanasanamanute yenahurmano matam tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate yachakshushana pashyati yena chakshogamsi pashyati tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate yachrotrena nashrunoti yena shrotramidam shrutam tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate yat pranena praniti yena pranah praniyate tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate.
So tomorrow onwards we'll only chant from the second, because today we finished this morning, that's why. Okay. So let us read the mantra as well.
Yadi manyase suvedeti
daharamevapi
nunam
tvam vetha
brahmano rupam yadasya tvam yadasya cha deveshu athano mimamsyameva.
Actual verb is mimamsyameva.
Te man mimagamsya mevate manye viditam.
That manye viditam, students reply, which is explained in the following mantra which we saw this morning.
Naham manye suvedeti no na vedeti vedacha
yo
nastadveda
tadveda
no na vedeti vedacha.
The student gave a brilliant answer, because he was a brilliant student himself. I do not think I know Brahman. But I know Brahman. And whoever understands this answer of mine in the class, and that person also has understood the teaching. Yonas tadveda tadveda nona vedeti vedacha. I said that vedacha, I do understand the teaching. When he says I do not understand Brahman as an object of knowledge, but I understand Brahman as that which is other than the known and the unknown. And that which is other than the known and unknown is the knower. And that knower is consciousness. And I know that Brahman as consciousness, obtaining as the surupam of the knower, and that Brahman, the consciousness, obtaining in the surupam of, obtaining as the surupam of the knower, in the form of consciousness, is myself. Okay, we saw that one. Let's see the third mantra now.
Yasyamatam
yasyamatam
tasyamatam
tasyamatam
matam yasya
matam yasya
navedasaha
navedasaha
avijnatam
avijnatam
vijanatam
vijanatam
vijnatam
vijnatam
avijanatam
avijanatam.
So He only, in this mantra, he again makes it clear. I said, who makes it clear here? That Upanishad. Upanishad summarizes the content of the teaching, or the dialogue. Yasya amartam tasya matam. See, the mata, the word mata is a past passive participle, which means men, which means known, thought, understood. Okay? So, matam means known, understood. And here, what is under discussion of Brahma? Yasya amartam. Matam means understood, known. Amartam means ununderstood, unknown. Yasya is a relative pronoun. The person for whom, yasya is a relative pronoun. Yasya, the person for whom the absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, which alone obtains as the swarupam, the truth of the knower, I, in one's own mind. And that reality, the consciousness, yasya amartam, for whom the consciousness, the reality, that one's obtaining as one's own swarupam, is not an object. For whom the reality is not the unknown. Reality is not unknown. Reality is not unknown for whom? Tasya matam, for whom reality is known. For the person for whom reality is unknown, for whom reality is known. Which means, he has the knowledge of reality. He is not ignorant of reality. Upanishad says this, who is ignorant of reality? Who knows the reality? Who is a jnani? Who is a jnani? The one who says, I know reality, I know the truth, I know Brahman, for him, isn't it? The person says, I do not know Brahman. The person says, I do not know Brahman. But then he says, I know Brahman. Whatever he says, for him knowledge, reality is what? Object. It means known. But here, yasya amartam. The person for whom reality is not the known. Known means neither unknown nor the known, which is not an object of knowledge. When you say amartam means unknown, unknown means not an object of knowledge. Is it clear? The person for whom reality is not the unknown, reality is not the known, unknown, not known, not object of knowledge, for him reality is known. Amartam means not an object of knowledge. Is it clear? Known is it? Amartam is not known. For him, he knows the reality. Matam yasya na vedasaha. The person for whom reality is an object. The word matam means, literally means known. Amata means unknown. You take it as what? Object. The person for whom reality is an unknown. Unknown means we taught an object for him, and he knows the reality. The person for whom, who says reality is known, and he does not know the truth. Okay, it means reality is not the object, he knows. Same thing is repeated in the second line. Avijnatam vijanatam. So, vijanan means the person who knows. in possessive plural, say vijanatam. For those people, many people for whom reality is avijnatam, vijanatam avijnatam. For those people who have the knowledge of the reality, listen carefully, for those people who have the knowledge of reality, for them, reality is not an object of knowledge. Avijnatam means not an object of knowledge. What is mentioned in the first line, same thing is repeated in the second line also, with the different verbs. Vijnatam avijanatam. Whereas people for whom reality is not an object of knowledge, okay, those people are the people who know the truth. How many times, okay, the four quarters of the mantra repeats one fact. Why should Upanishad take so much of pain to repeat it? Yesterday I already told you, isn't it? Somewhere Upanishad doesn't believe in going out and afterwards thinking. In the very class itself, you must be convinced of this fact. What is reality? The absolute reality. Why do you call it reality? The reality because of which lends existence to the whole Jagat, which lends existence to the time, which lends existence for space, because of which all forms are here, all words are existent, all functions are existent, all actions are possible, the results of actions are possible, experience of pairs of opposites are possible, even the laws which determine the results are possible. Everything here, the whole life is possible, the Jagat itself is possible, the waking state experience itself is possible, the Jagat is possible. Because of that one vastu, which doesn't come, which doesn't go, which is always there, which is the substratum of everything, without which everything will collapse. It is satyam. That's why we say absolute reality, param brahma. Param is an absolute, is an adjective, param brahma, parama atma. The parama, param, etc. are added to the truth, no, as adjective. With absolute reality, absolute ultimate truth, absolute self, the only self of all the beings. Paramatma means what? The only self of all the beings, the only reality which alone obtains as an innermost self of every being is Paramatma, Parambrahma. We use all these terms, isn't it? That reality now has to be understood because moksha purushartha. Don't forget moksha, okay? We are interested in our moksha. That should not be forgotten. And for which we now, as a human being, is involved in this pursuit of knowledge. So we need the truth. And how am I going to discover the truth, isn't it? So Upanishad says, first of all, it must become very clear. Reality is not an object, not available for objectification, which means it is not available for sense perception, it is not available, it cannot be perceived through any of the sense organs. How many times Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, aprameya, isn't it? It cannot be perceived through any of the sense organs, it is imperceptible. And it cannot be described by any word, we saw this class, and which cannot be conceived even through the mind. Reality is not even an object of thought. Very important here, because many people, what happens in Kathopanishad and all, it is said, manasa eva jnatavyam, avagantavyam, the expression. What reality has to be understood only through the mind. This people take it. Okay? Upanishad itself tells. Manasa eva jnatavyam means, what does it mean? You have to definitely use the mind to arrive at the reality. If you want to discover clay, you should discover the clay only in the clay pot. Where the pot is, there alone clay is available. Where the table is, there the wood is available. So where the truth is, there alone, where the mind is, there the truth is available for recognition. This Upanishad tells us, come on, don't go and waste your time, it's available for recognition in your mind. Reality has to be arrived at, can be recognized only in your mind, not anywhere else. One must be convinced of that fact. No, not any other place. Only in the mind, reality has to be arrived at. Because mind is the subtlest of the manifestations and reality is much subtler than the mind. You can't go and search for, even though reality is everywhere, mind is the place where it has to be recognized. It's available for recognition, first fact. So that means reality is available for recognition in the mind means we should not mistake that reality is available as an object of thought. That's the big problem. Okay, we want to know through the mind. Not available for sense organs, okay. Not available for word description, okay. But Upanishad says, manasayeva jnatavyam, manasayeva avagantavyam. Therefore, it's available for recognition in the mind means they think they can arrive at reality as an object of mind, object of thought. No, reality is not at all an object of thought. Reality is not an object, first of all, not at all objectifiable. Because reality is that because of which objectification of anything is possible. Reality is available as the very swarupam of the mind, truth of the mind, not as an object of mind, object of thought. Is it clear? Therefore, that is made very clear. And there some people may get stuck. That is why easy to see, initially it is easy to understand reality is not an object of perception. Not available for understanding through sense organs. Okay, it cannot be described by words. But still, mind is a problem. There, people really get confused. Okay, so reality is not available for objectification even as an object of thought. It means reality has to be arrived at, can be understood, recognized only in the mind as the very swarupam of the thought, truth of the mind, truth of the thought, especially truth of I, the knower. Which means the subject of knowledge. That is why this mantra, to emphasize that, please make all possible efforts to discover the truth as the swarupam of the knower, the subject. It is not an object. No, to make us do that, how many times it is? Yasya amatam tasya matam. Matam yasya na vedasaha. Avijnatam vijanatam. Vijnatam avijanatam. So, yasya amatam. For whom Atma is not the known. For him Atma is known. For whom Atma is known, he does not know. For those who know the Atma, Vijanatam, Atma is not an object of knowledge, unknown. For those people who know the Atma, for those who say that Atma is known to them, they do not know. Okay, Vijnatam Avijanatam. Atma is an object of knowledge for those who do not know Atma. What is the important point here? Got it? Got it. Atma should be, Atma can be, has to be recognized only as the swarupam of I, the knower, the subject of knowledge. It is not even an object of thought. That is what is made very clear. Okay. Now, we are entering into the crux verse. Okay.
ప్రతిబోధ విదితం మతం. ప్రతిబోధ విదితం మతం. అమృతత్వం హి విందతే. అమృతత్వం హి విందతే. ఆత్మనా విందతే వీర్యం. విద్యయా విందతే అమృతం.
దిస్ ఫోర్త్ మంత్ర, ఐ టెల్ యు, ది మోస్ట్ కాంప్రిహెన్సివ్, ప్రొఫౌండ్, ఇంపార్టెంట్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ ది కేనోపనిషత్. ఇట్ ఇస్ ది మోస్ట్ కాంప్రిహెన్సివ్, ప్రొఫౌండ్, ఇంపార్టెంట్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ ది ఎంటైర్ వేదాంతిక్ లిటరేచర్. వై? బికాస్ we do not know the method of attaining the self knowledge. Until now, Upanishad has helped us understand the fact how the reality is, how reality is one's own swarupam, how the reality is not an object of knowledge. It is made very, very, how, first of all, how to distinguish the knower from the known. Then, when you distinguish the knower from the known is anatma, then arrive at the knower, then if we search, analyze who this knower is, then as the swarupam of the knower, you can arrive at the reality. And in what form do you arrive at the reality? In what form does the reality obtain? In formless form. Reality, once you distinguish the knower from the known, then the knower, you analyze who this knower is, you arrive at reality in terms of its nature of knowing, as a swarupam of the knower. Abstract, formless. No, there is no form. Only arrive at in terms of its swarupam, knowing. Then you understand, pure consciousness, which is distinct from the known and the unknown, manifest and the unmanifest, cause and the effect, that pure consciousness is the swarupam of the knower. And that consciousness, how many knowers are there now? We saw in all the variable functions, in all the varied sense powers, in all the varied actions, in all the varied minds, it is the only knower. Everything is known. All the minds are known. All the sense powers are known. All the sense organs are known. I mean, the functions are known. Everything is known here. In all the known, the only knower. And this consciousness is not part of the body, mind, sense complex. Not the product of the body, mind, sense complex. It is not even the property of anything. It's not limited by the peripheries of the body, mind, sense complex, and it goes beyond. Means even when the physical body falls apart, consciousness continues to exist. There is no beginning, no end, and we understood very clearly how consciousness is free from all limitations, all differences. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma. We also, Upanishad made it very clear, Tad Brahmatvamasi, understood. But still the confusion may be possible. What is that? How to, once you arrived at the mind, as swarupam of the I, you arrived at the consciousness. But still, how to attain Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam? Is it clear? So actually, why this is the most profound, most comprehensive, important mantra of the entire Vedantic literature? Because this is the mantra which actually, which reveals the method of attainment of self-knowledge. The method. In fact, it is the jnana sadhanam. It presents the one mantra is packed with information. It is the means, jnana sadhanam is discussed here. Jnana palam is discussed here. So, pratibodha viditam matam. Only for that one sentence, let us see first meaning. The rest of the word sentences are very easy. Bodha means knowledge, cognition, experience. Bodha means knowledge, cognition. We can include even experience. Pratibodha viditam means cognitions change. But in every variable cognition, what is invariably present is consciousness. Pratibodha viditam. Consciousness is available for experience in every cognition. In changing cognitions, variable cognitions, what is invariably present is consciousness. So this we understand the reality in the form of obtaining in the form of pure consciousness has to be, can be recognized only in the mind as swarupam of the knower. This much we have already understood. Now here, what is a cognition? What is knowledge? If cognition has to rise in the mind, if knowledge has to rise in the mind, there are two important factors required. The first important factor is thought, vrittihi. In Sanskritam, thought is called, thought as a past passive participle is a different one. I thought it's a noun here. Okay. Thought, vrittihi. Vrittihi rises. Vritti is important. These vrittis form the antahkaranam. Many vrittis constitute the antahkaranam, mind. In the waking state, the knowledge can happen, should happen only in the waking state. In deep sleep state, you cannot have Atma Jnanam. Why? Why can't you have Atma Jnanam in deep sleep state? Why can't you have Atma Jnanam in deep sleep state? When you are not, you do not even know you are, how can you arrive at the reality obtaining as your Swarupam? You must understand, there must be the status of being the knower. In deep sleep state, even though you are there, you do not know your own existence. Therefore, in deep sleep state, knowledge is not possible. In deep sleep state, knowledge can happen, then whole night I can come to all the rooms. When you are sleeping, fast asleep, I can ask all to come and sleep here, I can talk. Isn't it? So, anyway, Atma Jnanam has to happen only in the waking state, when you know you are. It's all very basic things I should not be telling, but still I am telling. So, because people have a lot of ideas. That's why I'm telling all these things. No confusion. In waking state, there is the knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am. You know you are in waking state. Therefore, you are eligible to discover there is knowledge of the existence of self in terms of I am. Therefore, it is possible to discover what I is, what I am. Okay. So, in waking state, we have many experiences, cognitions, different forms of knowledge. Which means, for knowledge of any given object to take place, there must rise a thought. So the mind, through the sense organs, comes in contact with the external world of objects. In the waking state, mind is in constant contact with the external world of objects through sense organs. Because only in the waking state sense organs are functional. Mind is functional. Then there is knowledge of the existence of the self. Therefore, external world can be contacted. When the thought rises, when the mind comes in contact with a given object, for example, mind comes in contact with the given object. So I'm sitting here. I don't need to make any effort to see things around. I can see many things simply. The eyes are in contact with many things, the trees, the huts there, the wall, windows, the cameras in front of me. So many things, eyes are in contact with many things. Simply, now in the mind, through the sense organs do report whatever is in its realm, it reports. Sense organs cannot enable the mind to register. They can only report. So when the mind comes in contact with an object, still there won't be vritti. Even if the mind comes in contact with the object through the sense organ, still there won't be vrittihi. Vritti means there won't be thought. If the vritti has to rise, then focus, attention must be focused on the object which is perceived by the mind through the sense organ. Is it clear? I come here, I sit here, I go back, I do see, my eyes do see the objects here, my mind does come in contact with the objects here. But suppose you come and ask me, every day you come there, you sit there, you talk and go back, did you see my, did you notice my key here? I misplaced my key. Suppose you kept your key here. You ask me, did you see my key? Did you notice my, what can I say? I did not notice. There's difference between saying I did not see, I did not notice. Understand? Every day I see the bunch of flowers here. I see the table here, I see water here, I see many things here. Which means mind in waking state, the sense organs are open, mind does come in contact with many objects. Through the sense organs. But if, but only when there's a need, the attention of the mind is focused on a given object, then that my thought assumes the form of that object, and that form, that object gets registered in the mind. When thought gets registered, the object gets registered in the mind, means there arises a vrittihi. That's called a vritti jnanam. Then there is knowledge of that object. Okay? First of all, object must be there. Sense organ must be functional. The mind must come in contact with the sense object. Even then, object need not get registered. There won't be jnanam. There won't be cognition. Understand? We do what so many things we see, but many things do not get registered. Mind does perceive objects. Mind does come in contact with the objects through the sense organs. But all the objects do not get registered. If everything is registered, what will happen? Anything, whichever object you focus on, that gets registered. When that given object gets registered, means there is, the thought assumes the form of an object. Then vritti jnanam. Suppose it's a bunch of a flower, and I see today, oh, what flower has been kept here today? I will pay my attention, I focus my attention on this object here. My mind comes in contact with this object, the sense organ is perceiving, isn't it? Attention is focused, therefore there's a vritti happens. There is a bunch of flowers. There is a bunch of flowers is knowledge. Vritti jnanam. So it is not enough. It is not enough if the object is. It is not enough the sense organs are, you know, reporting about the object. It is not enough even the mind comes in contact with that object. The attention must be focused. Only then that object gets registered. Then alone knowledge rises. It's called vritti jnanam. Is it clear? We call it cognition or knowledge. And even experience for that matter. Until this point, is it clear now? Okay. Sometimes we are walking on the same thing. I walk towards the dining hall, and somebody walks from the dining hall. And then I just look at the person's face, oh, somebody's coming in front of me. I want to say namaste. Other person is staring at me. I thought, oh, she's also seeing me. I say namaste. She doesn't reply. No namaste. Usually she says namaste, she'll give a big hug also. But today, doesn't give you example. And she just walks away. Why? She was looking at me. She did, her eyes were not closed. She didn't walk closing her eyes. Her eyes were open. She saw me. I saw her. It means, she saw me means what? Her mind must have, through her eyes, must have contacted this big form, body walking, but it didn't register in her mind. Swamini is walking in front of me, didn't register. Why? She was rushing to receive somebody, some important work. Register, no register. Focus is not there. Even if the mind comes in contact with the object, even the sense organ is open, even the sense organ reports the object, that particular object does not get registered. Which means there is no jnanam. And I ask, I saw you, I did say namaste to you, you didn't even say smile at me, you were walking, you saw me, you didn't even say, oh really? Oh sorry, I didn't notice you were walking, I didn't notice. What does it mean? No, the object didn't get registered. Okay, the registration must happen. When it's registered, means there is vritti jnanam. Oh, this woman is walking. I'm seeing this woman. Registration must be there. This is called vritti jnanam. So for any knowledge to take place, of any object, knowledge of any object to take place, there must be vrittihi. And then with vritti in the sense what? Vritti can happen only the attention is focused on that object. Of course, mind must come in contact with the object through the sense organ. Then the focus or attention also must be focused on the object. Then the object gets adjusted. Then the vritti jnanam takes place. And it's another topic, the process of knowledge. That we'll see differently. Now I'm going to do only for this particular mantra, Pratibodha Viditam. Okay, now Upanishad says, it is not enough. The vritti is a first one factor. We understand mind and vritti, thoughts, all the thoughts form part of the antahkaranam. So antahkaranam comes in contact with sense objects through the sense organs. When the attention is focused, then it gets registered. When registration takes place, there comes the vrittihi, thought, vritti jnanam. Otherwise, no jnanam. Until this point, very clear, isn't it? But Upanishad says, you know what this vritti is? Inexplicably subtle thought form. You cannot see, because thought is behind the sense organs. So you cannot perceive the thought. But you can understand thoughts are those because of the presence of which even sense powers become functional and active. That's all you can understand. Okay. And this thought, please understand, thoughts are also elemental products. Any vrittihi, antahkarana vrittihi, all vrittis together, or the mind as a whole, is a material elemental product. Elemental product of subtlest, very, very subtlest matter. Matter only. Subtlest, but matter. Mind is a material product. We already understood. So every thought is a subtlest material product. If vrittihi is a product of matter, subtlest matter, the elemental product, the vritti must be of the nature of inertness. How can this inert vritti by itself become, how can the inert material vritti, thought, by itself become, give rise to knowledge or experience or cognition? Is it clear? So whenever thought rises, cognition means a thought by itself cannot become knowledge or cognition. Without the thought also knowledge is not possible, cognition is not possible. But thought by itself cannot become cognition or knowledge. Therefore, there is another much more important factor involved in cognition. What is that? Consciousness. Okay? So, conscious, without the consciousness, thought by itself cannot give rise to, cannot become knowledge or perception or experience. Consciousness without the thought also cannot become what? Vritti jnanam. So, vritti jnanam means knowledge or cognition which rises or obtaining in the form of a thought. Cognition or knowledge or experience is what? Nothing but obtaining form of a thought. So, cognition involves two factors. Vrittihi and consciousness. Both factors must be there. Consciousness and thought modification. Shankara used another term. Vritti parinamaha. Vritti parinamaha means thought modification. So, consciousness plus thought is equal to cognition or manifest knowledge. Okay? You can use consciousness, can be said to be pure knowledge. The consciousness with the thought is what? Manifest knowledge. Let me make it very clear. If this mic which is opaque, okay, opaque mic, the mic I remove it, the light in front of me is pure light. The mic is brought in front of me, okay, the light, same light gets a different name, reflection, reflected light. What is this light? Light does not go, does not come, light is here. When the mic, opaque mic is brought here, okay, the light pervading the mic, in which the mic shines, the presence of which mic shines, this light gets the name reflected light. The mic is taken away as a pure light. Are there two lights? Are there two lights? Like just what is only light. There is no pure light, there is no reflected light. These two adjectives are unnecessary adjectives. What is just the light. But I add this adjective, pure light, reflected light. Why? To distinguish the light from, okay, the light in which, the presence of which there is an opaque object, and the light in the presence of which there is no object. If the object is not there, it is pure light. If the object is there, reflected light. Really speaking, there is only light. The pure and reflected are added to the light from the standpoint of the presence and the absence of the opaque thing. Do I make it clear? This verse, my favorite verse. Not my favorite verse. Anybody will love this verse because it clarifies everything. All vagueness should go. Thinnest to thinnest to thinnest layers of vagueness should resolve. If I can communicate what I clearly see, and that's joy. You will also discover joy, isn't it? Understanding is joy. First of all, this example, okay, reflected light, pure light means there's no, that these adjectives are added to the light in keeping with the presence and absence of opaque thing in the light. Similarly, knowledge, okay, pure consciousness, pure knowledge, our manifest consciousness, our manifest knowledge means these adjectives are added to consciousness from the standpoint of the vrittihi. In keeping with the presence of vrittihi, in keeping with the absence of vrittihi, the consciousness is pure knowledge, is given, the knowledge is added, adjectives are added to the knowledge. As what? Pure knowledge, manifest knowledge. Pure consciousness, manifest consciousness. What is pure consciousness and manifest consciousness, reflected consciousness? Just the conscious. What is only consciousness. Consciousness is there, that's all. But adjectives are added not because of consciousness, but in keeping with the presence and absence of vrittis. Thought rises, there is manifestation of consciousness. Thought resolves, pure consciousness. Thought rises, manifestation of consciousness. Thought resolves, pure consciousness. Consciousness does not come, does not go, does not change. But what comes, what exists, what resolves is thought. Vritti comes and goes. Is it clear now? Now next question. Next, now we say, so in the waking state, the first vritti is what? The knowledge of existence of one's own self. First, I am. That way that throughout, that will not resolve. But any knowledge of any other object, how does it rise? So we are busy, we keep our sense organs away, open, and we are involved in so many activities, and the mind comes in contact with the objects all the time. Sounds are heard, forms are seen, light is seen, actions are seen, movements are seen, then smells are smelt, tastes are tasted. So mind does come in contact with sense objects through sense organs, but only when the attention is focused, then object gets registered. Then there is vritti jnanam, cognition. Is it clear? Sometimes people come and eat, they were lost somewhere, and then they eat mechanically and they forget, did they eat or not? Or they know what is they ate, and the person who made this, some dish, how was it? Did you taste it? How was it? The person wants some appreciation from you. Oh, what did you make? That's nice. Then the person understands, this person did not eat thoughtfully. Mind was elsewhere. Something was mechanically gulped. So no taste is understood. How was it? And somebody says it was too much of salt. The person gulped and went out. No complaint. Why? Because there is no registration. No vritti jnanam. Salt jnanam nasti. Mind did contact the object, food, through sense organ. But attention was not focused, so no registration, no vritti jnanam. Amazing, isn't it? I want to understand cognition. Okay. Now, this cognition involves these two important factors. Consciousness plus thought, vrittihi is equal to vritti jnanam. Now, without consciousness, thought by itself cannot become knowledge. Without thought, consciousness by itself also cannot become knowledge. Is it clear? Both factors must be there. In deep sleep state, consciousness is. Where there is no consciousness, the pure knowledge is, okay, reality obtains in the form of a pure knowledge in deep sleep state. Why there is no knowledge? Like light without the mic is what? Light without the opaque thing is what? There is no object, so light cannot illumine anything. So in deep sleep state, consciousness is, where can consciousness go? It cannot go anywhere, it's very much there. But still no jnanam. Because the mind is non-functional, one thing. Is no vritti rises and no sense organ doesn't come in contact with the external world also. Sense organs are also closed. Isn't it? No vrittihi, no thought rises. All the thoughts are resolved means no vritti is there. Therefore, consciousness is, but then pure consciousness, not mixed with the thought. No knowledge. But without consciousness, mere thought cannot even exist. Where is the question of thought becoming knowledge? Is it clear? It means these two factors together, so vritti jnanam, cognition or knowledge or experience means consciousness plus thought is equal to cognition. The both must be there. Now, next point. These are understood now? Next level. Now, the whole day, how many cognitions happen? How many forms of knowledge happen? And how many experiences? There is many experiences, many cognitions. And then you know, all these cognitions are constantly changing. The experiences are changing. The forms of knowledge are changing. That is why you are able to see tree and the wall, door, everything. You are able to see different things. Why? Because different vrittis take place. Only one vritti stays. Imagine what happens. You will be stuck with the... Sometimes, no. Sometimes you become frozen when you are talking to somebody on the Skype and all. The picture will get frozen. Even in Zoom. When we don't have enough bandwidth, it gets frozen. Like that, imagine if the vrittis, many vrittis do not take place, you will be stuck with one tree. Other object, they must be moving. Understand? So many vrittis happen. So many vrittis happen. Therefore, so many objects are. And then every vritti, look at this. The vritti simply is not vritti taking alone. Then the relevant vritti, corresponding vritti, corresponding thought. Suppose what there is a stump, okay, the broken tree, a stump of a broken tree outside. And then I do see that stump of a tree through my eyes, sitting here. But the vritti, what should the vritti be? There is a stump of a tree, but instead I see a man. Understand? Which means what is seen is different, the what registered is different. So what vritti takes place? The vritti must be relevant. Is it clear? Then it's a proper knowledge, cognition. You can, something else can be registered. Okay, the stump looks like a man walking, standing somewhere. What is this rope? Rope is, you know, the mind comes in contact with the rope through the sense organ. But the vritti, relevant vritti must be there. Their vritti is what? Snake vritti. So, which means vritti assumes the form of a given object in correct knowledge. Suppose I focus, I want to see, oh, is there Krishnaji? No, I focus my attention. If I don't focus, then I won't know whether he is today, he is present or not. Then Vishayakara, vritti assumes the form of that object. Suppose I see this bottle. Now, in my mind, I said, here is a bottle of water. Now, what happened now? There is bottle akara vrittihi. The vritti just assumed the form of the bottle is here. Tad akara vritti. Pot akara vritti. Window akara vrittihi. Okay? The thought assuming the form of a given object. The object, okay, on which attention is focused, the thought assumes the form of that object, and there rises the knowledge of the corresponding object. I see from here window. Then window akara means form. Window akara vrittihi. Door akara vrittihi. Flower akara vrittihi. Like whichever object is, the attention is focused on whichever object, and that object, there's a vritti relevant to that object. Okay, corresponding object. Thereby, that particular knowledge takes place. I see a key here. No? Key akara vritti. Here is a key. Key akara vritti. And then saffron color. Orange color akara vritti. Even taste akara vritti, smell akara vritti. Whatever is the form of the object, thought assumes the given form of that object. Not the physical form alone. Okay? Which means there is knowledge of that corresponding object, relevant object. Is it clear? If I'm not clear, I'll come back and talk tomorrow again the same thing. So vrittihi must be there, and the vritti must be relevant vrittihi, and the vritti and the attention must be focused on that object, then the vritti jnanam takes place. Vritti jnanam means vritti rises, the very existence of vritti is because of the blessing of consciousness. And the vritti becomes conscious and sentient because it is inseparably together with the vritti. Okay, then that's called vritti jnanam. Now, this, what is the distance between light and the opaque? Gross example, no distance. Isn't it? Similarly, there's no distance between. Consciousness is distancelessly intimate with the vritti. Vritti and consciousness are intimately mixed, distancelessly mixed, but still consciousness is distinct from the vritti. How light which pervades the opaque is distinct from the opaque, but still distancelessly intimate. Do you see that? It's a gross example I'm giving. Light which pervades the opaque is distinct from the opaque. Completely, it is nothing to do with this. Light is not the part of the opaque. Light is not the product of the opaque. Light is not even property of the opaque. Light has nothing to do with the opaque. Light is distinct from the opaque, but still distancelessly intimate with the opaque. Is it clear? Similarly, consciousness is distinct from the thought, but intimately mixed with the thought. Inseparably, intimately mixed with the thought. So every cognition, please remember, every cognition involves these two both factors. And so many cognitions we have, and so many experiences we have, so many forms of knowledge we have, means so many vrittis arise. Okay? So vrittis are many. Many vrittis arise. And vrittis are of the nature of coming and going. They keep floating. Fleeting. Okay? Vrittis come, vrittis keep moving, changing. Vrittis constantly, vrittis are changing. That is why we are able to have cognitions of many objects. Many things. Is it clear? Now, of these two factors, in vritti jnanam, what about the consciousness? Consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. Consciousness does not come, does not go. Consciousness is there. All pervasively consciousness is always there. When is consciousness? Always. Where is consciousness? Everywhere. Okay? Everywhere. Always. Consciousness is. The thoughts alone come and go. Thoughts keep on changing. In keeping with the relevant thought, in keeping with the object which the mind comes in contact with, the relevant thought and relevant vritti jnanam, relevant cognition of relevant object takes place. Is it clear? Now, in all these changing cognitions, now every cognition involves two factors, you know that very well now. In changing, in all these cognitions, vrittis are constantly changing, and therefore cognitions are also changing, but what is invariably present in every variable changing cognition is changing vritti. In all the changing vrittis, what is unchangeably, unchangingly, invariably present is consciousness. Got it? In all the cognitions are changing, experiences are changing, means vrittis are changing. When there is a vritti corresponding, relevant to the tree, is there tree jnanam. Tree akara vritti rises, there is a tree vritti jnanam. Window akara vritti jnanam. Cognitions change, thoughts change. What is invariably present in all the variable cognitions, in all the changing thoughts, vrittis? Consciousness. Is it clear? Now, when you are experiencing this opaque thing, can you experience only the light, opaque? What you cannot avoid is what? Light. If you are experiencing opaque, means you are experiencing light simultaneously along with the opaque. The very possibility of experience of opaque is because of the presence of the light. Is it clear? Similarly, in every cognition, in every experience, in every experience, in every cognition, in every piece of knowledge, what is invariably is consciousness. here comes the problem. This is the fact. But what happens? Because of their intimate association, inseparably intimate, we people mistake the consciousness to be the part of the mind. Even though consciousness is not a part or product or property of the mind, we mistake. Why? Because of the intimacy, because of the proximity, closeness, because of the closeness, inseparability. We are not able to distinguish. See, that's the problem. Now what does Vedanta do here? Vedanta warns us, physically we need not undo anything. We cannot undo anything. Just Vedanta helps us to draw every cognition. Cognitions change, experiences change, the forms of knowledge change, because objects of vrittis change. And what is, how we have to understand, in every cognition there is invariably, unchangeably, unchangingly, what is his consciousness. And I am that consciousness, which is Brahma. Okay? It's called Jnana Prakaraha, method of knowing the truth. I'll make it clearer tomorrow morning. Let me make it clear for them. Is it clear? No. Now consciousness, now leave alone the rest of the gross matter. Let us take only the mind is the problem. Mind is the thing. That's why I said matam. Which of this consciousness and vrittihi, consciousness is vritti, comes and vritti, because the mind comes in contact with the external object through sense organs, relevant thought rises and relevant thought shines in the presence of consciousness, which is knowledge. And because of this vrittihi, consciousness gets the status of being the knower. There is no knower. Like how light gets the illuminated status because of the presence of the opaque. Because of the presence of vrittis, consciousness gets the knower status. Is it clear? So I am is a vritti jnanam. World is vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam means knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. The two factors. And here conscious, now mind is matter, subtlest matter. Mind means all these vrittis which rise in the presence of consciousness are subtlest matter, products of subtlest matter. So consciousness and matter in the form of a thought, in the form of thoughts. Matter obtaining in the form of thoughts. What is the connection between the consciousness and the thoughts? In every cognition, if you take a cognition, is inseparably what? Consciousness and thought is cognition. Experience. There are Nyaya philosophers. They say, here. Consciousness and matter are two independent realities. Dvaita people. Consciousness is independent, matter is independent, the two independent realities. Okay? That is their view. We have Nyaya Vaisheshika people, philosophers, and also the modern scientists. They all have the same view. Which is the cause, which is the effect? Actually, they call, Nayayikas call Purusha and Prakriti. They call Purusha consciousness. They call the subtle matter in the form of mind Prakriti. And they call the independent realities. Whereas the modern scientist like other Vaisheshika, what they say? Consciousness and matter, they say they have Karnakari Sambandha, cause-effect relationship. Scientists also, modern scientists also say that. But for them, matter is the cause. And consciousness is a product of matter which comes and goes. And when the person dies, consciousness also dies. They mistake the manifestation of consciousness for origination of consciousness in modern science. The beginningless, endless, changeless, deathless, indestructible consciousness is mistaken to be. The manifestation of consciousness is mistaken for origination of consciousness. Why do they mistake? Because whenever vrittis are not there, consciousness is as pure consciousness. The pure consciousness is not available for recognition, and non-recognizability, non-interactability is mistaken for non-existence. Pure consciousness is not available for interaction or recognition. Non-recognizable. If the consciousness has to be recognized, there must be thought. There must be manifestation. If it has to become manifest, there must be thought, vritti. But there is a time vritti is resolved. So whenever vrittis resolve, vrittis do not arise, no perception takes place, then consciousness is what? Consciousness is. As pure consciousness, there is no manifestation. Therefore it is not recognizable. So consciousness is not dependent on mind or thoughts for its existence. But consciousness is dependent on mind, thoughts, for its manifestation. I am only giving you the brief note of what is being discussed. So whenever the vrittis are not there, consciousness remains pure, as pure consciousness. Consciousness remains as pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is not manifest consciousness. Why? Because there's no, it's not manifest, because no vrittis are there. Therefore, it is not available for recognition. Because it is not available for recognition, it is not recognizable, not interactable. Therefore, the scientists mistake it for non-existent. So whenever there's manifestation of consciousness, and the manifestation of consciousness is mistaken for origination of consciousness. Therefore, they say matter is the cause, consciousness is the effect. Okay. But just little understanding. Then what do the Vedantins say? In fact, no, we also say consciousness and matter, cause-effect relationship, but consciousness is the cause, matter is the effect. Why do you say once? Effect means they do not have, they are not independent, parallel realities. Cause and effect means what? They are not parallel realities. They are not independent. They are not parallel realities means they are not independent of each other. Consciousness is not dependent on matter for its existence. Consciousness is of the nature of self-existence, self-revealing, self-evident. Consciousness is self-revealing, self-evident. Is not dependent on matter for its existence. But matter is dependent on consciousness for very existence. Therefore, matter is mithya, consciousness is satyam. At the same time, consciousness is dependent on matter in the form of mind for its manifestation. Manifestation is what? Recognizability, isn't it? Consciousness is manifest means what? Consciousness is available for recognition. Consciousness is pure means what? It is not manifest. Not manifest, there's no manifestation means it is not available for recognition. That's why in sleep you are there. You are there means what? Consciousness is. But not available for interaction. You have to go and wake this person. Get up, get up, get up, come, I want it. You cannot get the person do anything. Why? The person is not available for interaction. No, manifestation, vritti. Vritti comes, I am, wake up. And disease, old age, then comes, and the mind, whatever the mind, whichever object, wherever, in whichever form, through five different senses, mind comes in contact with the external world of objects. All the objects do not get registered. Wherever attention is focused, and those objects get registered. 12 to 2 music class, attention is there. We know where the note goes. Attention. Okay, object can be, it's a sound akara vritti, melody akara vritti, tala akara vritti. Whatever attention is focused on, that relevant thought should rise. Is it clear? Now tell me, in which experience, in which cognition, in which knowledge, consciousness is not. Understand? First blast. You know what it is? Don't wait for experiencing consciousness. Every experience is consciousness. Spirit. especially I want to go and sit under a tree somewhere, close my eyes. Do we have to wait for experiencing consciousness? Why? Every experience, there is consciousness. Experiences change, objects of experience change. You are there. I am conscious. Okay, I am conscious of myself, I am conscious of the object, I am conscious of body, I am conscious. I am consciousness. So in every cognition, in every experience, in every perception, in everything, there must be vritti. Without vritti, no cognition, no experience. That is why we say, when we describe deep sleep state, absence of this experience of experiencelessness. In deep sleep state, what experience you have? No form experience, no sound experience, no smell experience, no taste experience, no touch experience. In deep sleep state, no experience of the external world. No cognition, no knowledge of the no external world. No knowledge, no experience, no cognition means the whole world exists. But for the person who is asleep, the world is as good as non-existent. So existence of the world presupposes the existence of manifestation of knowledge. Do you see that? Time. Existence of the world presupposes the existence of manifestation of knowledge. Vrittis themselves cannot become a knowledge. When the vrittis come, even before the vrittis rise, welcoming vrittis, there is consciousness. That is why cognition is possible. Isn't it? Whether this all these things are here or not, light is here. Things come, light illumines the objects. Things are taken away, light illumines the blankness, emptiness. If you fill this room with lots of chairs and things, light illumines all the objects which are here. Now for tomorrow, for some other program, we remove everything from here. Empty the room, hall. And the light will illumine the emptiness of the hall. Similarly, consciousness is always there. Vrittis come, vrittis rise, and the vrittis are focused on given object, and the corresponding, vritti jnanam gets registered as a vritti jnanam. And because consciousness is, it shines. All those cognitions, in the presence of consciousness, thoughts shine, which is called knowledge. The thoughts resolve, consciousness still is there, and consciousness illumines blankness of mind. When the thoughts are there, thoughtful thoughts are there, mind is full of thoughts, consciousness illumines the thoughts. Then we say cognitions, experiences. Isn't it? Thoughts resolve, consciousness is, but consciousness illumines blankness of mind. Blankness, no external world is illumined. Because relevant thoughts are not there. No thought is there in sleep. Which means cognition involves two factors, and they both are what? Vritti is of the nature of inertness, because it is a material, subtlest matter, it's elemental product. Consciousness is completely distinct from the vritti, but still even though distinct, it is inseparably intimately associated. Like light and the opaque. Is it clear? Now, when do you want to experience consciousness? When? Morning, 5 o'clock? Too early. 7 a.m. Where do you want to experience consciousness? Go on a cruise to experience? Every experience is consciousness. Every cognition is experience. Only thing is, we have to distinguish. Physically we cannot separate. Intellectually, cognitively, we have to discern consciousness from vritti. And every cognition, you are experiencing every cognition. Every experience, you can understand there is consciousness. And I am the consciousness. I am consciousness. Is it clear? The whole world is in cognition. And cognition, I am the aham the vritti. I am the cognition. Okay? I, the consciousness, am shining in the name of thoughts, in the name of the whole world. We'll see tomorrow. Time. It's called Pratibodha Viditam. I just started, well, tomorrow I'll continue. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Intellectually distinguishing consciousness from experience, that intellectual act of distinguishing is itself a vritti. Is it not?
Is it?
A vritti.
Yeah, once this we distinguish, there knowledge takes place, isn't it? There again, knowledge takes place. Suppose distinguishing is knowledge again. Intellectually, cognitively, you are distinguishing. I mean, physically, you are not doing anything. Now, I understand this light is distinct from this mic. I am not physically doing anything, but still I understand. It's called intellectually, cognitively distinguishing it. That distinguishing is also knowledge. Vritti jnana. Distinguishing also is knowledge. Yeah. There has to rise. Vritti has to rise, isn't it? That vritti is focused on what? Light. Focused on light. You can't light separately. Okay. Vritti is focused on light. And you then light. And then light, you're distinguishing the light from the vritti, the object. Isn't it? There again, you do not see consciousness as the object of thought there. You are seeing consciousness as the very swarupam of thought. Why swarupam? Vritti cannot exist independently without consciousness. Is it clear? The light is not object of opaque now, opaque thing. Light is not illumined by the opaque thing. Light is not illumined by the opaque, but the opaque is illumined by the light. Therefore, which is the truth, which is the sorupam? Light is sorupam of the opaque. Is it clear? Similarly, you see the cognition is, experience is, now we are experiencing the orange color. Okay, definitely there is vritti. Vritti is pertaining to the object. The orange color, there is an orange cloth. Okay, This is the orange color. This is a vritti jnana. In that the vritti is of the object, that vritti shines where? In the presence of consciousness. The very fact, the cognition that there is, this is orange, that knowledge shines because there is consciousness. So consciousness, you are seeing it as the swarupam of the thought. Is it clear? Even then, the distinguishing also is what? Jnanam, that's the vritti. And see, in fact, I'm going to tell you tomorrow about akhandakara vritti jnanam. I'll talk to you tomorrow about it. Of course, it's jnanam. This is knowledge. Of course, this is also jnanam only. This is also vritti jnanam. Discerning, seeing, and again, relevant thought should take place, and you are seeing it. But that vritti also, where does it shine? The same consciousness. Isn't it? Consciousness being the truth of the vritti is understood. That understanding also is what? Vritti jnanam, vritti, which takes place only in same consciousness it shines. Knowledge of consciousness also takes place in the consciousness only, which is also vritti jnanam, which also comes and goes. Knowledge of anatma comes and goes. Knowledge of atma also comes and goes. What doesn't come and go is only atma. Okay, we'll see tomorrow. I couldn't complete what I want to say today, so we'll continue tomorrow. It's okay. It's called Purvapitika. Purvapitika means just a certain preparation. Before cooking, you have to get some vegetables. Everything has to be ready, isn't it?